Comfort, comfort, my people, says our God. It is an opportunity, by the way, Living Nativity is an opportunity for you to see and experience the retelling of the greatest birth of all time. That will be December 19th and 20th. We have two performances each of those nights, one at 6, one at 7. You're welcome to come. The ultimate in social distancing, you sit in your car. We radio it in to you, just so you have the opportunity not to have to, you know, be too close to anybody. But this statement begins with the nature of God, our God. Did you hear it? It says, comfort, comfort, my people. In the midst of a national crisis, we hear that God comforts us. In the midst of a moral crisis, interesting, the national crisis can produce a moral crisis. In the midst of that, God is speaking. God comforts us. In the midst of the national crisis and the moral crisis, of course, there's personal sadness. And in the midst of that, God does speak. God comforts. In each of these, notice what's going on. God doesn't say that your concern is not real. God doesn't say that I'm going to ignore your concern. Rather, God says, I'm going to be there in the middle of what you're dealing with. I'm going to be there to deal with it. God's going to be there with our worries and our fears and our personal pain and our loss. God will be there comforting us in the midst of what we face. That's what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In the midst of this, in the middle of what we're dealing with, God's comfort comes pouring in. God shows that he cares. Did you hear that? Instead of us having to carry our burden by ourselves, God has announced we do it together. That's why the church was created, so that we can carry the burdens together. We've connected with the world at large. We've connected here with those of you who are sitting here. We carry the burdens together. I hope you hear that. And we do so because God is our God. That God has announced through Jesus that he will help us carry our burdens. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Literally. So we don't have to carry the full weight of our lives. We share it with Jesus. He's yoked to us. That's what Isaiah announced 600 years before Jesus came. That one was coming who will help us carry our burdens. I hope you heard that. Now, this sermon involves listening. Have you heard it? Obviously, right? It involves listening. And listening is hard in our world today because we want things to move quicker than what they really are. We have a lot of noise that surrounds us, and it's hard for us to listen to the still, small voice of the living God. One aspect of listening we heard last week, I shared with you, and that's the aspect of waiting. We have to wait for God to speak. Sometimes we want to charge in. We see a problem. We think our answer would be appropriate. Before we get the okay from God, we charge in. And we think that waiting is not really acting. We think acting is moving. That's not really true. Waiting is acting. You've made a choice. You're going to listen for the direction and guidance of God. That's one of the most powerful things to do, by the way. Is wait for God to say, this is where I want you to move. Instead of us moving because I feel like I have to do something. Instead, wait. Did you hear that? Wait for God. Wait for his voice. So that when God speaks, not only do you have the desire, you also now have the authority to act. And that's the key here. It took 600 years from the time that Isaiah spoke these words until God acted in the person of John the Baptist, who was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He was preparing us for the arrival of Jesus Christ. Waiting involves doing what God has already asked us to do. Things like help that neighbor or assist someone in the grocery store who can't reach the thing on the top shelf. It's amazing how many people in this world are actually shorter than me. It always amazes me, because I don't think I'm very tall. Or call a lonely friend. One of the sidebars, sad bars of pandemic. There are people who are lonely out there. Call them as we wait for God's direction. When I got my counseling degree, I thought I would be right and ready to go ahead and do what God had called me to do, which is counsel people who are hurt. I got a job in the county, Fairfax County, Virginia. And I waited for my career position to open up. Nothing happened. I applied for all the jobs that were on the job board. I went in weekly to be able to see what jobs did my skills, my training fit for me. So each week I'd go in, I'd pick one, a couple off, the ones that fit. I would apply for them, and nothing happened. Now last week I shared, I hate to wait, this is one of the moments that drove me crazy. Fortunately, I have a very patient wife, patient with me, patient in circumstances, but nothing happened. Without knowing, God was preparing me, not for a career in counseling, but for a career in ministry. I listened. I waited. Because waiting is actually doing something. The voice was calling a different direction than what I thought I should do. The sermon today is about hearing. Hearing that voice. Hearing so that we can act. So the question is, how? How do we hear? How do you actively wait? How do you actively listen to what God has to say to us? How do you prepare yourself for the voice to be spoken? Well, one of the times, things you can do while you're waiting is to work on yourself. Remember, that's the greatest project God has given to you. Hope you realize that. It's not your neighbor, it's not your spouse, it's not your children. You know who the greatest project God has given you? It's you. Hope you all realize that out on Facebook land too. Because you're the one who understands what most is going on in the head and the heart. You're the one who knows your history. You're the one who knows the hopes and dreams for the future. You're the one who has the greatest authority to work on you. It's your responsibility. Now, there's people God's going to bring alongside to help you. It may be family members. It may be church members. It may be that person who's that irritant in your shoe or irritant other places who will make you grow up into an adult. But you're the one that God wants you to work on. And when you realize that, you can't blame this person for any emotional outbreak you may have. You can't blame this person for your lack of, because you're working on you. And it's your responsibility to grow yourself up. So as you're preparing to hear the voice, work on the pride that may exist within you. And I don't mean pride in the sense of, hey, I want to look good. I want to look good. By the way, it's winter almost, and I'm wearing snow ties now. So just to give you an idea, I love snow. I'm hoping it comes. Don't judge me on this. It is who I am. I realized it a long time ago. You know what? I like it. So, but work on our pride. Now, pride would say, I'm going to dress myself up so you'll be impressed. No, I dress myself up so I look like a slob. Right? That's why. But the pride we're talking about in the Bible is that you're the center of the universe. We realized a long time ago that the earth revolved around the sun. The earth doesn't revolve around us. I hope you realize that. But the center of spiritual pride is, I'm the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me. And I hope you realize that we're all fallen, short of the glory of God. We're all broken. That's why we work on us. That's our main job as we wait, as we listen for God, for what God will have us do next. And one of the things we work on is our pride. The pride that says, I have to be right. I have to be first. I have to be. And you get the idea. This is what we work on. And the moment we can do that and say, my top priority is not me. It's God and God's resources. It's doing what God's asked me to do. The moment we begin that, pride is pushed down and Jesus is pushed up. And the moment Jesus is pushed up, we've started working deeply on who we are. Because the moment Jesus takes over, Jesus is the ultimate master carpenter, the ultimate master restorer. He'll restore you to factory specifications. that God had intended all along. But the key is to listen. To listen to the other side. I've got to get rid of who I am in order to find who I am, created in God. Who I am created in me is an imperfect facsimile of what God wanted. I have to find me in God, because that's what God intended all along. And the moment we start doing that, now we're ready to truly listen. Realize one important thing. The scripture has not told us is that God will move you where God wants you to be. You can do it willingly, or you can do it kicking and screaming. God will get you there. I hope you realize that. Kicking and screaming is harder, because ultimately, God will get you there anyway. So work on those rough places of who you are. That's what the scripture spoke about. But there's rough places in us. Places in which, you know, no one wants to go near, because they're going to get a huge outpouring of yuck. When we work on those rough places and make them plain and smooth, and we hear God, and then we're ready to move where God wants us to be willingly, it's a lot easier. Some of the ways in which we work on ourselves, of making the rough smooth, the valleys, the low self-esteem lifted up, the high places of pride pulled down, is scriptures. Make scriptures a daily moment for you. You can listen to them or you can read them, but scriptures have to be a daily moment, because that's where God speaks to us. Because the Bible is the Word of God. God fashions who He is in the Bible. And as a result of being in the Bible, when we read it, we hear what God intended for us. Now, will every day be a light bulb moment? Ooh, that's me. Not always. But there will be moments in there you're like, ooh, that's me. Or, yay, that's where I'm going. That's why the scriptures are so important. That's what we read them each and every week here. That's why I give them to you in the newsletter. Come January 1, you'll get a Bible reading for the whole year. That's why we do Bible study. That's why we have Sunday school. So you can hear God's word for you. Now, sometimes music is very powerful. And this time of year, I love this music. Oh my goodness, my radio has those Christmas stations on. You know that? Ah, I love them. And that's where, do you hear what I hear? I'm like, yeah, I do. I don't listen to lambs. But yeah, I do hear the wind speak of God. By the way, that's very biblical. That's a Romans chapter 1 passage. But music has a way of speaking to us. Highlighting the fact, here's where I need to go. Here's what God wants me to do. Here's where God wants me to touch. Very powerful. But in order to hear that, we have to unplug. Unplug all the distractions. We have to be willing to listen. Because when we're faced with tough problems, God wants to help us. That's what God means when He said, comfort, comfort my people. He wants to be there for us. But we put up so many barriers. We put up so many things in the way. We're always dealing with all these other things. And we don't sit and listen for God. When I have a really tough problem, sometimes my sermon is not going the way I think it should go. I just sit and allow God to work. And I'll start putting things up in my head. And it's amazing how God will say, stupid idea. And God will say, that's got some promise. And it's an incredible how, that's really good. But I'll sit in silence, listening to the voice calling in the wilderness. The wilderness of the chaos of the world around us. That means you turn off the TV, you turn off your phone, you turn off the ability to listen to all that craziness out there, so that you can hear that movement of God. How you can fix yourself. How you can help others around you. How you can know where to go next. I'd like to close with a story. This is a man who was in World War II. Actually, his book written by him titled Unbroken. It's a movie about him, too. The problem with the movie, I've never seen the movie, but I heard reviews. is that they missed a critical part of this man's life. His name was Louis Zamperini. And the movie forgot that he was transformed by baby Jesus Christ. He was a man who was in World War II. He was plane crashed in the ocean. He was there 47 days floating in a raft. He fought off sharks and starvation and dehydration, and he was rescued, for that quote marks, he was rescued by the Japanese Army, or the Japanese Navy. They put him in a prison camp, and because he was American, they tortured him, and tortured him, and made his life horrible. When the war was over, of course, he was released, and he went back home. He returned a hero. But his war didn't stop with the end of the war, because in his mind and in his heart, he still fought that war. He would wake up at nights with horrible nightmares of the torture he'd experienced, and the dreams would haunt him. He'd wake up with night sweats. One night he said that he woke up, found himself strangling his wife, because in his mind he was strangling one of his tormentors. So he turned to alcohol in order to numb the pain, to get those thoughts out of his head. He knew he needed something, someone, to help him with the demons that were raging inside. He was encouraged to attend a Billy Graham concert. He didn't want to go, but he went anyway, because he didn't want to disappoint the friends who invited him. As Billy Graham started speaking, Billy Graham touched a nerve in his heart. He got upset. He wasn't going to listen. He got up and walked out. But he realized that he had made a promise a long while ago when he was in Iraq, that if God rescued him, he would serve God. And God dropped that into his head. He listened at that point. He went back into the Billy Graham concert, and there he received Jesus Christ as Savior. And this is a quote from him. Since that day, he never had another nightmare. He poured all the alcohol down the drain. He no longer needed it. He had been transformed by Jesus Christ. He now had living water. He listened. Now, your story might not be as dramatic as Louis Zamperini, but the thought is still there. That there are things that we work with and in us. We need to hear what God has to say. Realize God wants to speak and God is speaking. It's up to us to take that moment to listen. To actively say, God, what are you trying to tell me here? When I have a tough time, I do ask God to speak to me. And then God does the most unusual. God will drop in my head what I need to do. And I've learned that if I ignore it, like I need to call someone who's here at church, or I need to write a note, if I ignore it, God won't let me have rest until I do it. Okay? This is where I sometimes joke that God's down with heaven. He'll chase you down. You might as well just do it. That's why I mentioned about doing it willingly or kicking and screaming. God's going to have you do it. So you might as well just do it willingly, because God wants the best for us. And he knows the best for us is to listen and then act. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, as we come to you, as we bring our hopes and dreams to you, as we bring our hurts and pains to you, help us, Lord, in the middle of all that chaos of our lives, help us to listen, to hear you, and in hearing you, receive your comfort. In hearing you, you'll take those rough spots of who we are and you'll make them smooth. In hearing you, you'll take those spots where we elevate ourselves beyond what we really are and you'll reduce those. And those spots in which we have so pushed ourselves down and think we are so worthless, you'll raise them up. So all of this may be a smooth plane in our lives. And then help us listen, Lord, how you want us to minister. Because the whole goal of this is to be able to touch the world in a positive fashion for your Son. Thank you that Jesus came. Thank you that he died. Thank you that he rose. That he now sits in power calling us to share a ministry. It's in Jesus' name we pray.